You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, second hour, Saturday, May 4th. James Edwards, Keith Alexander. We have so much fun during the commercial breaks. If we had any more fun, they'd have to stop. Well, I was going to say they'd have to stop paying us, but we never got started on that track, even after 9 years. We're thankful, though, to have the contributions to keep the show on the air. All right. AM 1380 WLRM, downtown Memphis. That's where we're at. We're going to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and much, much more. It's been a great week. A big week for us. Lots of improvements to our online official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, completely redone. We're very excited about that. We've got more advancements forthcoming here over the course of the next few weeks. We'll be talking about them more during the month of May. Talked earlier about the Zoom experience I had, Keith, just walking down, minding my own business. Got a shout out from people who recognize us and were apparently fans of the show. And so that's always good. In addition to the correspondence we received from all over the world, when we were redoing the website a couple of weeks ago, when that was still underway, it was in process, we solicited feedback from folks about how to better improve the website. And we've got emails from all over the world, including a gentleman in Australia who's a regular listener of the show. You remember last week we were talking about a guy in Germany who listens, who says he downloads the shows and listens to us on his iPod as he zips through the Autobahn. Well, we had a listener in Australia who said, I'd like to have a program clock on your website so we'll know what time it is in your studio so I can, because it's a big time zone difference between Memphis and Australia. Well, we put that on there. His wish was our command, and we continue to get that. And to top it all off, Keith, you'll never believe what I found. After I came home from the zoo, dropped off my wife and daughter, I was walking back out to the car to come down to the studio, and I'm going to show you something, Keith, and I want you to tell the audience what you're seeing. What I found as I was walking to my car from my lawn.
This looks like a clover. Is it a four-leaf clover?
You got it.
All right, my friend. Very good. That's supposed to be good luck, James. Let me tell you a secret.
Well, I know it's supposed to be good luck, which is why I picked it and brought it into the studio tonight. I'm going to eat it and see if it turns into some donations for us. If you're enjoying the show, folks, support our work. Well, I'll tell you, we got another listener on the line now who has been waiting patiently since the last segment of the first hour to share with us some news. We're going to go back to our stronghold, the South, the solid South. Smitty in Alabama has some news for us, Keith, that I have not yet heard. Smitty, the show is all yours.
Good evening, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Give me a couple of minutes here. I was just going to let you know that one of the schools here, there was the first military school for the Confederacy, I believe. It was LaGrange College in Northwest Alabama in Lawrence County. They was having their reenactment today and yesterday. Earlier in your program, y'all was talking about how the North come down here. We didn't go to them. Well, that was one of the first things they made of, actually burnt to the ground. And so the Sons of Confederate Soldiers, that's one of their yearly thing. They go there and have a reenactment for that over the weekend. Also, I was just going to give you a shout-out from the council, Conservative Citizen Council, here in Northwest Alabama. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Smitty. This is Keith. I was glad that they weren't celebrating the burning of LaGrange by probably Sherman's troops or some similar Union general.
They said that was the West Point of the South is how they remember it.
Well, I tell you what we need to draw from this, though, Smitty, is this lesson. Basically, Grant, Sherman, and Lincoln were war criminals. They were terrorists. They visited unconditional warfare on the people of the South. Liberal historians, and there is no sanctioned historian out there that is not a liberal. You're not going to have any academic future if you're a conservative historian. But liberal historians take people like Sherman and Sheridan to task for their horrible treatment of the Plains Indians, like the Sioux Indians, because they visited unconditional warfare upon those Plains Indians. But they learned their craft under Lincoln in the Civil War and visited unconditional warfare for the first time on Southerners throughout the Civil War. And they wonder why Southerners still have long memories about the Civil War. After the Civil War, Southerners were mad as hell because they had been the first victims of unconditional warfare by a civilized Western government. And what they did, they saw this as not a Northern production so much as a Lincoln and Republican Party production. What this led to was a particular electoral effect called the Solid South, where Southerners would vote for a yellow dog. They called him a yellow dog Democrat so long as he was a Democrat, and they wouldn't vote for anybody who was a Republican. Now, this unfortunately led in the 20th century to the election of the two worst presidents in the 20th century that America has suffered under. The first was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The first was Woodrow Wilson. The second was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Roosevelt was a globalist. He instituted the income tax, got the federal constitution changed. The original federal constitution, U.S. Constitution, prohibited an income tax. He got it changed with the 16th Amendment, and we have an income tax. He did away with the original Constitution's method of selecting the Senate. The Senate, back until the 17th Amendment was passed under Wilson's administration, were elected by the state legislature. In other words, the Alabama state legislature would elect the senators from Alabama to serve in the United States Senate. What that accomplished was the final nail in the coffin to state rights. It basically disenfranchised the states as a state. And, of course, he also got us involved and tried to get us. He got us involved in World War I, which was a disaster not only for us but for all of Europe and the world, because we upset the balance of power in Europe, and there would never have been a World War II had we not involved ourselves in World War I because of the imperial designs and the global governmental aspirations of Woodrow Wilson. Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave us a welfare state, and that's why a whole generation of black boys was named Roosevelt beginning in the 1930s, because black people said, finally, government is doing what we want them to do, which is give us free stuff. Okay? So that's what it is. And, you know, the terrorism of, burning down a place like LaGrange needs to be a teachable moment for us and for our youngsters. We need to tell them that we were the victims. We were the invaded people. We never invaded the North. And when we went to the North, our troops didn't do things like that to the Northerners.
Smitty, thanks so much for the call. A big shout out back to you and those in Alabama who are members of the Council of Conservative Citizens, great organization, and the Sons of Confederate Veterans. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Here he is. Hey, he just walked in, everybody. Eddie, the Bombay doors are open. We're going over the target. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has just walked into the studio. Now, I'll never get Keith's attention again, because when Eddie walks in and Keith's here, they just start talking to each other as if the show's not really going on. So I don't know how the rest of this segment's going to go, but Eddie's coming up in a few minutes, and he's got some things to talk about, and he's going to be with us for the final hour. But actually, Eddie's been here at the radio station since the show began. He just hasn't come into the studio. He's been in the green room getting serviced by the interns. Now, don't let – I hope anyone has a dirty mind out there. I'm just talking about he was getting a mani-pedi. He was getting his toenails done. Anyway, back to the show. Eddie, you're making me nervous. If you're going to come in here, go sit down in that corner over there. I can't – y'all – now I got Keith and Eddie standing up pacing this room like caged animals. So, all right, everybody's sitting down now. We can get back to work. Great call from Smitty. You know, speaking of reenactors, I talked about the experience I had at the zoo today with some fans. There is a particular government building that I frequent fairly often here in town that I have to go to take care of business from time to time. It's not the local jail. But when I go into this building... I might have mentioned this one time before on the show, but there is one white gentleman that works there. One white guy that works there, the whole building. Oh, yeah. And you got it. Eddie knows where it is. And I came up there sometime, I don't know, a couple of years ago to take care of business, and he noticed that I was the host of the Political Cesspool. And ever since then, he was a listener. He said, hey, I listen to your show. And he is a Confederate reenactor himself. So every time I have to go into this particular building, and I don't want to blow this guy's cover because there's not many white government employees here in Memphis, but the one white government employee that is at this particular branch is a listener and a fan of the show and a Confederate reenactor. So when Smitty called in to relay his story, it made me think of this guy. So if he's listening tonight, I want to shout out to him. And I was just actually there last week, and as soon as he saw me, he started talking about things he heard on the show. So it's all good stuff. They're out there. They're undercover, but they're out there. But Keith, continuing on with Smitty's point and comments, you have a story that kind of dovetails into that.
Well, I've got a story from the Memphis newspaper. This is part of our Behind Enemy Lines coverage about another group of reenactors. This was in the Friday, Friday, May the 3rd, 2013, Memphis Commercial Appeal, local section, section 3A. And here it is. 50 years later, students recreate Alabama March. Birmingham, Alabama, Dateline. This is Associated Press by someone named Jay Reeves. 50 years ago, Birmingham leaders used fire hoses, police dogs, and jailings to stop waves of black students who marched out of a church and onto downtown streets seeking equal rights. Thursday, more than 1,000 students recreated that landmark demonstration, bringing tears to the eyes of Ronald Short. Good night. What does it say here? He was just 15 years old when he participated in the so-called Children's Crusade, which authorities in the then segregated city met with overwhelming force that shocked the nation. He wiped away tears as he joined in the commemoration five decades later. And yada, 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 as Seinfeld says.
Tell them what really happened in those marches.
Okay, you know what really happened. See, this is what they are celebrating is the great lie of the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement was not as portrayed, and particularly these demonstrations with fire hoses and police dogs and police so-called brutality. What you never learn is that, one, you had a complicit media. You had the Jewish media complex, and Jews, of course, are noteworthy for one thing, and that's being the most liberal segment of the population that passes as white in America. Over 80% typically vote for the Democratic candidate for president in each presidential election. We know that because there's nothing that is studied with as much intensity as demographic voting patterns. So we know that. And that's more than any other group of whites. You know, Episcopalians, they're more like about 55%. They're supposed to be very liberal. They pale in comparison to the Jewish allegiance to the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party, of course, is liberal. And liberal in today's lexicon means nothing more or less than anti-white. So you had a media complex that was complicit in what was going on. Here's what was going on. All leaders in the Civil Rights Movement were funneled into the Highlander Folk School in Monteagle, Tennessee. That's where the Suwannee, the University of the South, is located. It's outside the Deep South in Tennessee in the hills of the Cumberland Plateau. And what they learned there were the techniques of nonviolent demonstration and protest. And specifically, they did certain things. For example, did you ever notice in all of this footage that black guys were always dressed in little white shirts with little narrow, skinny, one-tone color, usually black, ties and a pair of long trousers, skinny, dark trousers, not black, usually brown or something, and a pair of laced-up black shoes? And you saw a disproportionate number of these black male demonstrators wearing glasses. This was all from central casting. Hollywood, another Jewish stronghold, was having its influence on what they were doing. They were trying to turn these guys into latter-day Urkels. Remember Steve Urkel in the popular television show back in the 80s and the 90s? This is what they were trying to do. Black men don't typically dress like this. There were no zoot suits to be seen. There were no flashy clothes. There was nothing like that. There were no outlandish clothes whatsoever. Everybody was scripted to dress this way. They learned that at the Highlander Folk School. Furthermore, what they told them to do was to provoke violence from the police. They would throw urine. They would throw dog feces. They would spit on the police. And when the police, who were not in on this type of training at the Highlander Folk School, finally had enough and turned in anger on what the indignities that were being visited upon them by these protesters, Then and only then would the cameras start rolling so that the people in Maine and in Minnesota and in Washington State would say, oh, look at these horrible racists. Look at these troglodytes. Look at how violent they are. That's what was happening. But in an even larger sense, you know, so that's what it was. It was all a cooked up affair. And it was meant to provoke violence. If they could not provoke violence, they couldn't have gotten the change that they wanted to get because they would not have gotten the American people on their side. So it was all staged, it was all manipulated, and the people that were being manipulated were not just the policemen in the South, it was the white population in places like Washington State, Maine, Minnesota, Michigan, and all these other places. Now, let's ask a question, too. Over 50 years later, what is there to celebrate about the Civil Rights Movement? What they're doing is they're celebrating one of the signature moments in the Civil Rights Movement, the Selma March, the march from Selma to Montgomery, and a march in Birmingham and some things like this. You know, they've got their great historical moments. And, of course, we're all supposed to believe that black people just got sick and tired of being sick and tired, linked their arms, started swaying back and forth, singing spirituals, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Jewish power and influence had nothing to do with it all, okay? But, again, I'm going to leave you with this question before we go on break. What is there to celebrate about the triumph of liberalism in the Civil Rights Movement? We'll answer that question after these words from our sponsor.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I can't even keep up with my cues in my headset, guys, with you two in here. Two's company, three's a crowd. I can't handle more than one co-host in here at a time. It turns into a stag party. This is like... And actually, Keith was ribbing me during the break. He said, you know, you got noticed by some guys at the zoo today. Every time I get noticed in public, it's always hard body sorority girls. And so, you know, some guys have a lot of luck. But, all right. And like I said, that last commercial break, I'm completely frazzled. I have no idea what we were talking about 5 minutes ago. Hey, between Keith and Eddie, it's just, you know, it all happens. This is, you know, again, one of the improvements we want to make this year is we want to put a video camera in the studio to show you what goes on. I mean, yeah, you get to hear the show, but now you would get to watch the show. In addition to audio, you would get visual, and the commercial breaks is really where it's at. You know, we'll get Pappy over here to clean up his language for the kiddies, and we can put the commercial breaks on television on the web. We got a lot of plans. Listen, we're going to move the needle. We got a lot of things going on. Anyway, Keith, this is your last segment before the Bombardier takes over, and thank God I got to get rid of one of y'all. But continue on with what the point you're making before the break, and incorporate some of Eddie's commentary during the commercial to bring it all into sharp focus.
Okay, I'm telling you guys now, the question that I posed right before the break was, what is there to celebrate about the Civil Rights Movement? Well, let's look at the legacy of the Civil Rights Movement, the real legacy, not the imaginary legacy of the triumph of long-suffering black people, you know, and everybody lived happily ever after. Unfortunately, everybody did not live happily ever after. And most particularly, black people did not live happily ever after. What has happened to public education after the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education case? What does the Bible say? Do not be deceived. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Compare public education at any particular school that was in existence in your locality, if you have a significant minority population, in 1954, a school like East High School in Memphis that was in existence in 1954, Central High School in Memphis, Booker T. Washington High School, any high school, compare their composite standardized test scores in 1954 with their scores now. Look at how much was being achieved in the classroom. Does that change represent good fruit or corrupt fruit? Public education has gone into the crapper in America in most urban areas since 1954, since the sainted triumph of liberalism in the Civil Rights Movement. James is a perfect example. He had to flee public schools when he was a young child in order to get a decent education. And when his family found they could no longer afford the private school that he went to, because nobody was giving this stuff out like candy favors back then, he was homeschooled. But he got an excellent education, as his commentary every week attests. You don't need the government schools to get a good education, thank God. In fact, if you go to a government school, you will get more than likely a lousy education, and it's all because of the triumph of the Civil Rights Movement. Another result, which I don't think is worth celebrating, is the change in most American urban centers, particularly urban centers that have a large minority population, like Memphis, Birmingham, or whatnot. We were talking earlier in the show about Stockton, California, going bankrupt. What a coincidence. Minority population rocketed in Stockton, California because of the open borders policy of liberals in our government, liberal elites. And as a result, Stockton basically defaulted on its government obligations. They went bankrupt. So did Birmingham, Alabama. So did a multitude of other places. Yes, James. James has a comment.
Thank you, Keith. No, I just got to say something quickly here, and it needs to be said, is that, you know, as we often mention, we don't want to see anyone mistreated. You know, in fact, if you could teleport us back to the 50s, we might be liberals of the time, because we do believe in equal rights for all, but special privileges for none. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. I don't hate homosexuals. I disagree with them. You know, that's the thing. If you disapprove of the homosexual lifestyle, if you don't believe that it should be ramrodded down your throat, if you take a godly approach to the question, you're a bigot. Well, I don't hate homosexuals. I think they need treatment. I don't hate blacks, but I have a preference about the people that I choose to do business with and to associate with. I don't have a problem at all with equal rights for all, but the ultimate victory, what ultimately came of the civil rights movement, the so-called civil rights movement, was not only disaster, as Keith put it, but it was the abolition of private property rights and the eradication of freedom of association. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. But I love my family just a little bit more than other people. And I think that's natural and healthy. And I want you to relay what Eddie was saying during the commercial break to Keith. What you saw on the news reels was one thing. The provocation of the marchers was not shown. The reaction from the law enforcement was. But what was also going on behind the scenes with kids like Eddie, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller was a young kid, an adolescent during the civil rights era. What was happening to him? And he's shared the story too, but translate it.
Well, there's this guy named LaHaye that has the Left Behind series that a lot of fundamentalists will know about. Well, the people that were truly left behind were people like Eddie. Eddie's family was not prosperous enough to pick up stakes and move to a suburb like my parents were able to do, like James's parents were probably able to do. He had to live and endure in a neighborhood that had gone from white to black. And he will tell you that there was none of this saintly piety that you see portrayed as the typical behavior of black people, at least in the environs that he lived in. He was confronted with thugs, with tire irons that were beating him up, stealing his money, and then beating him up, not to get the money, but just for the sheer joy of beating up on a white kid. He basically had to fight for his life. Fight for everything that he had, and every day he said he slept with a shotgun. He never knew when somebody was going to come through the window. He was living the life that a lot of white people that live in South Africa and the former Rhodesia, now known as Zimbabwe, are living with today. And he was living with that in the 1960s era Memphis, and all because of the sainted triumph of the civil rights movement. James was saying that he has a sense of solidarity with his own race. Guess what? All people do that are natural and normal. You know, a lot of whites are guilt-tripped. We have an article that's coming up on the blog next week about some boot camp they have for white guilt, where whites are being led to slave auction sites and they're being put in yokes and stocks and stuff like this. You know. Yeah, that's coming up next week in the blog. But you know what? If having a sense of solidarity with your own race disqualifies you from being a good Christian, then all of these liberals, people like Tim Wise, Jane Elliott, and all these other people that put on these white privilege seminars, need to have a long, long talk with every black clergy member that I've ever known or encountered. Because they see no inconsistency whatsoever between being a good Christian and having a sense of solidarity with their own race. Why is that granted to every racial group that you can name except white Gentiles? Why don't white Gentiles get equal rights? We're not white supremacists, we're white egalitarians. We want white Gentiles to claim the same rights that everybody else thinks are theirs just as a result of being human beings.
And here's another thing, Keith, in closing, before we get to Eddie, and I know this is your last segment of the night. Me, you, Eddie, the staff here, we live in Memphis, which is a 67% non-white city. We live in the suburbs, but, nevertheless. Well, Keith actually still lives in town. We deal with blacks every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't talk with a black person. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not polite and respectful to a black person when I see him on the street. I saw him at the zoo today. You say hello, you're cordial. You should be. You should be nice and decent to everyone. And most of the time, they are nice and decent back. But at the end of the day, I have a preference to share the company with folks who have that share my heroes and my traditions and my culture. Martin Luther King will never be a hero of mine. Robert E. Lee is. That the people are different. Isn't that what the multicultural experience is all about? Shouldn't we be entitled to be different too? Where's the tolerance for us? We got to take a break. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo2Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo2Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo2Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use Memo2Me.com daily and highly recommend it to you. Memo2Me.com. Memo2Me.
Get on the show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Keith is leaving, and the dull roar will subside now in the studio. Now, I'm down to one co-host. We had a lot, did we have a lot of fun in that last commercial break? I bet Sam out in Utah, who was board hopping the show tonight, could hear the raucous behavior that was going on here. Wanted to bring Eddie on one segment shy of the third hour to share with everyone his most recent exploits. You know, Eddie is a white supremacist and a racist, and because he is, he runs in marathons that benefit all children of all races, blacks, whites, whomever. And you know about Eddie. How old are you now, Eddie? 66 years old. And in December, you ran in the St. Jude Marathon. That was how long of a run? 26.2 miles. In order to raise money for the treatment of pediatric childhood diseases, cancer being the biggest one, and children of all races come to St. Jude to get that treatment. And, of course, only a white supremacist would run in a race that would benefit humanity, but that's the kind of people we are here. Well, Eddie was doing it again. His racism took over, and it boiled over. And Eddie was up in Nashville. You were in Nashville. The hills of Nashville. See, now, if anyone knows the topography of Tennessee, Memphis is very flat. You go up about 3 hours to the east, and you get into Nashville, and it starts to get very hilly. And you go even further into Knoxville, and you get into mountains. So you were in the hills of Nashville a week ago. When we were doing the show, you were running to help these kids who suffer from these catastrophic illnesses such as cancer. You did one marathon. We talked about it last year, the St. Jude Marathon here in Memphis. You did the St. Jude Marathon in Nashville last Saturday, and it was a different experience for many reasons. Share with the audience why.
Well, I'll tell you, give you a quick picture of what it was like being there. I had to leave my hotel in Franklin, Tennessee, which is about 20 miles south of Nashville. This beautiful country up there. I had to get to the Nashville Titans, Tennessee Titans football stadium. That's the first time I was ever there. James, I got there about 10 minutes till 5 in the morning, 15 to 5, and that Titans stadium was the finish line for the marathon, which is another 26.2 miles. And then when we got there at about 10 minutes till 5 in the morning, we were put on buses and shuttled over to an area of the Nashville I've never been to called Centennial Park. They have a Parthenon there, building beautiful, very beautiful building. And we proceeded to stand out in the rain from about 5:20 in the morning until my corral. There must have been 40 corrals there. There were over 30,000 runners there. And it was very cold, very unseasonably cold for this time of year in Memphis. High winds, heavy, heavy rain. Rain from, we'd like to say we're from there about 5:20 until my corral took off. The gun, starting gun, was at 7:35. And I was just froze stiff. And my hands were so cold, I couldn't untie my shoes, couldn't adjust my shoestrings. I had a really hard time doing that. Had to borrow a knife from a cop to cut my shoestrings. They were just so messed up. And finally, about mile 6 or 7, I started warming up some. And I guess I'll have to brag just a little bit. You know, that first marathon I ran, James, back in December, was kind of a dismal six hours and 12 minutes. But that was my very first marathon. I've never even run a 5K. And like James said, one thing I take a lot of pride in is this sponsor, this Nashville Marathon, was put on by the Rock and Roll Series. They support St. Jude Children's Research Hospital here in Memphis, which is worldwide. It's known all over the world. We have children come in here. If you're in the lower 48 states of the United States and you have a referral from a physician, you're a child with a catastrophic disease, well, Federal Express will fly you. That child will be at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in 48 hours. That's a guarantee. You know how FedEx is. It absolutely has to be there overnight.
The wrong time.
That kid will be there. And listen, if the kid has insurance, if the parents have insurance, they will use the insurance, but that's it. They don't charge any more above the insurance. If the parents do not have insurance, those parents are never billed a dime. And I can tell you, I've been there. I've seen these people by the droves, and that's true. So I love doing it for the St. Jude. But on the selfish side of me, James, I have to crow a little bit. My first marathon in Memphis back when it was very hot. It was just totally different. December this past year was unseasonably warm. We got about 80 degrees, which when you're running a marathon, 80 degrees is like 110 when you're doing yard work. And people were passing out, puking in the streets, you know, cramps. I bonked at mile 20 there, but still finished. This one here in Nashville because it was so cold and raining, heavy winds. I finished in 5 hours, 14 minutes, and 40 seconds, which is almost an hour off that original time. But we had a wonderful time there, though, just an absolute wonderful time. The money benefited St. Jude again. And, James, I've already signed up for the December 7th marathon in Memphis, the 2013 December 7th St. Jude Memphis Marathon. And I'm really looking forward to that. But I do have a hernia. I was telling the guys here in the studio, I'm going to have that sewed up. And maybe the running caused it. Maybe it didn't. But, like I say, the funds, you know, James is right. I have to confess, I'm just an unrepentant racist. You know, I just despise the blacks and the Mexicans. That's why we here at the Political Success Booth support St. Jude Hospital.
Well, thank you for that, Eddie. And, you know, one of the reasons you're probably wondering, well, why are we, you know, dedicating a segment to talk about this? Well, have you ever tried to run a mile? Have you ever tried to run a mile? We have a tread room at my house. I can't get on that thing for 5 minutes. I'm trying to think of what year this is. 13. I'll be 33 years old next month, and I can barely make it a mile. Barely make it a mile. Eddie's twice my age, and he runs 26 in one set, you know, for a good cause, for a charity. Folks, that's worthy of at least a radio segment. And so when Eddie completes one of these marathons, we like to talk about it. But, you know, we do bring up the point. I mean, we are so often maligned in the media because we are, we are undeniably and without question pro-white. We love our culture. We love our heritage. We're here to celebrate it. We're here to honor it. We're here to promote it and to advance it. That's what the show's all about. But, you know, and the Greeks had an eternally wise statement. They said, all things in moderation, nothing in excess, even a virtue when carried to an extreme can be detrimental. And I paraphrase a little bit there, but that's what they got at. And so that being said, there is nothing wrong. In fact, everything is good when you go out there and you help people regardless of who and what they are, as we do. But at the end of the day, certainly we have a natural affinity and a natural inclination to help those of our own extended family. But with regards to Eddie's, run there that benefits everyone, you know, that's a good thing. Certainly Eddie does his part for white folks as well as a member of this hosting staff, and this is our primary focus. But, you know, Eddie also does a Christian missionary effort in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, helping the downtrodden down there. And, you know, when you're talking about the dregs of downtown Memphis, certainly many and in often cases you're talking about blacks, and Eddie will take them in and minister to them the gospel and feed them even, and he'll feed whoever comes to him, regardless of who they are. And this is what we do. But at the same time, you can do things like that and not be an anti-white, guilt-ridden psychopath. You know, you can be benevolent and you can be kind, as well we should, to everyone without hating yourself. You know, so oftentimes people go out and do efforts like this to prove how much they hate themselves, and they're doing it to absolve themselves of sins they didn't commit. Well, we don't do that. We'll be good and kind and decent to anyone and still maintain our natural preference and affinity. But you can do all of that and it'd be completely reconcilable. There is no contradiction there whatsoever. Well, this is who we are. This is what we are. And we're much more legitimate and sincere than the detractors we have who claim to be going out and helping everyone but white people and helping people at white people's expense. Well, we don't get caught up into that trap. But anyway,
that's true.
Coming full circle, Eddie, listen, what you're doing there is just physically speaking, worthy of celebration and praise on this show. I would dare anyone, challenge anyone listening to the show tonight to go out and run, train themselves to run and complete a 26-mile marathon in, 6 hours?
Oh, this one here was 5 hours.
Less than 6 hours he completed it. Now, a final word on this. We're going to get back to politics at the top of the third hour. But, Eddie, a final word from you, because you just came back. You were here. You were doing this marathon last Saturday when we were on the air. And so I wanted to make sure you had a segment of your own to talk about it, to brag about it. This is something brag-worthy.
Well, I'm awfully proud of it. Like I said, I took about 58 minutes off just from December, less than five months, I shaved 58 minutes off that first marathon. James, I'd like to give some praise to our audience, too. I'm sure you'll remember. on the St. Jude Marathon I did last December, the cesspool audience chipped in about $1,000. I raised quite a good sum of money, and the cesspool audience gave way far and above what my church family. There's 86 staff members, and where I go to church, I raised $125 from my church members and over $1,000 from cesspool members. So I love you people out there. And starting December 7th, if the cesspool will let me, maybe I'll have a day. If y'all want to send some money in, then that'll be fine. But that's still a long ways off. It's about 7 months off. Plus, I got to get this hernia fixed too, James.
I had a hernia myself a few years ago. I'm sure everybody wants to hear the story. And Guy Voller is the guy. He's one of the leading. I think he patented a particular hernia surgery that. We'll talk about it in the commercial break. Anyway, we better get back to politics, and we will during the third hour. Stay tuned, folks. It's coming up.
Of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.